Heavenly Father, we are in admiration of who you are. As we think upon your glorious attributes, that you are eternal, you are everywhere present, you are all powerful, you are all knowing, you are love, you are gracious, you are merciful, you are covenantally faithful, you are just. As we think upon who you are and the radiance of your glory, we stand back in awe and wonder that we could be in your presence. And as we think upon how your glorious attributes are manifested in redemption and in creation, even more so, Lord, we are astounded and amazed. For as we think upon especially the cross of Christ, we see all your glorious attributes on full display. And, O Lord, as we think upon this wonderful salvation that we have received because of the atoning death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, what else could we do but praise you for all that you are and all that you have done for us? Truly, Heavenly Father, you are the Father of lights and the giver of every good and perfect gift. Lord, we give you thanks for this, your congregation. We give you thanks, Lord, for every member in it, from the smallest child to the eldest. We give you thanks and praise that you have brought this local body of Christ together to serve you and to worship you together. We pray, Lord, that the love of Christ would be the bonds that bind these, your people, together. As we look at one another, may we not look on outward appearances. Would we not dwell on each other's faults, but rather, Lord, would we look upon one another as you look upon us. May we look upon one another with charitable love, with forgiving love, and with an abundance of grace. We also pray that as the love of Christ grows within this body, this local body here, that it would be a bright light, that this community would not only see that the truth is here, but that love is here, real love. And would that be such a great expression of the truth of the gospel that others in this community would look upon this, your body, and say they must have a great God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with your church around the world on this, your day. May all the worship that is brought to you be pleasing in your sight. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with all of our brothers and sisters in various parts of the world. We think of those especially in Ukraine right now, as they are suffering from power outages and dealing with a war-torn country. We pray, Lord, that you would be with those who are without heat and are struggling. And we pray that, Lord, you would be merciful in this situation and preserve life. We pray for the end of this war as well, for the sake of human life. And we pray that you would be with our brothers and sisters in that country at this time, that they would share the good news of the gospel far and wide. We pray for the soldiers on both sides of this war. We pray, Lord, that innocent life would be protected, that righteousness would be done. And also, Lord, most of all, that you would bring all of your people whom you have called into a saving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our brothers and sisters in persecuted countries. We think especially of China and North Korea and Iran and Afghanistan and other places, Lord, where our brothers and sisters are enduring intense persecution. And we ask that you would give them the strength of faith to stand firm for the cause of Christ, that they would not bow the knee for a moment, but be willing to lay down their lives rather than forsake the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, would you give us such a strength of faith as well? We endure different temptations in this world. Satan has baited us with the pleasures of this world. And already now, but increasingly it seems in the future, that we will have to be willing to give up certain things in order to follow Christ faithfully. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us all the strength and the courage to follow Christ in all things, whether it be in rebuke from the world or criticism, or whether even financial struggles may be laid upon us in the future, whatever they may be, Lord, give us the strength of faith to stand firm for the cause of Christ. And may you, O Lord, forever be our banner. Be the one to whom we rally, the one to whom we look to, the one in whom we have found all of our hope. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 25. Luke 2 at verse 25, and we'll continue reading through verse 35. But focusing, our text will come from verses 29 through 32 of Luke chapter 2. Hear now the word of our God from Luke 2 at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's stand to sing. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. You sing better when you stand, so we'll stand and sing. Joy to the world. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. Truly, joy to the world. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we get to look at the last of the five songs surrounding the birth of Christ as recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke. What a fitting song to be the last one in the birth narrative of Jesus. As with all the songs and as with all the scriptures, there is just gospel truth springing from every page. But not only that, but there's also deep gospel love, joy, and peace. Clear reality, wedded with deep emotion. Clear reality, wedded with deep emotion. We often struggle with the balance of those two things. And we see it very clearly in our society. We've gone from a society of I think to therefore I feel, right? It's and there isn't a causal reality between the two, even most of the time. But we have changed in even the way we talk. You notice that? 20 years ago, maybe even that long ago, it used to be, I think, and now it's, I feel. But even as we think upon our culture and even our Christian subculture, we often struggle with the balance of those two things as well, don't we? We struggle having, well, if you're a wife, you're probably thinking, my husband struggles with emotions, period. He doesn't have any. No, I'm just joking. But you think about the reality of that, that we do struggle with this. Having the truth be the sole guide of our emotions. And then having the right affections and emotions of our heart have those properly spring forth in constant praise to our God. For the truth, the reality of who He is and what He has done for us. Oftentimes, we go through the Christian life either, this is what I'm supposed to think, so therefore this is how I will think, but it's not really what I want to think. And what happens when that is going through our minds is there is a disconnect between what we are thinking and what we are feeling. It also goes in another direction. I don't want to believe that, so I just am going to go with what my feelings tell me. Go with your gut, right? And we can go in that direction as well. The ditch on the other side of the road. What is so helpful for us when we look at all the songs especially, but any of the poetic literature in Scripture, is that they all help us really deal with matching head and heart. With taking the truth of the gospel and having it flow in great abundance down into our hearts so that our hearts can only be a wellspring of praise back to God for the glorious truth that He has given to us. And we have that here in this song. This is not going to be your typical Christmas sermon. You should probably expect that from me. But we come to the Song of Simeon. A man who we are told is righteous, just, and devout. This is the only time Simeon is mentioned in the whole Bible. And he is described in such a way, so we know what kind of man he is. And we are also told another important thing about Simeon. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he's waiting for the Messiah to come and bring the full and final salvation to all of God's people. Now, children, how hard is it to wait to open your Christmas presents? Especially as you see those presents wrapped under the tree, mocking you, just begging you to open them prematurely or give them a little shake just to see what's maybe inside there. I'm not saying you should do that. But it's not easy to wait for things, is it? Especially if it's something that you're really excited about. Imagine waiting for years for something that you're really excited about. Well, we are told that Simeon, who has the Holy Spirit upon him, has been waiting. We're not told how long, but the text certainly implies it's for quite a long time. He has been waiting for the Messiah to come. And in fact, the Holy Spirit has told him that he is not going to die until he sees the Messiah. Imagine that. Waiting, never knowing when that day will be, when the anointed Savior of God's people would come and you would see him. We're not told how old Simeon was when the Holy Spirit revealed this to him, but the text certainly implies that Simeon's been waiting a very long time for Christ to come. And just how to try to put yourself in his sandals for a moment. Imagine waiting for years for a promise to come true. Imagining waiting for God to fulfill a promise to you in your life that the Lord had promised thousands of years previous as well, all the way back to Adam and Eve. They had never seen it. Imagine the strength of faith it would take for this man to wait every single day, day after day, hoping and knowing that there was going to be a day in his life when he would meet the Christ. Now, we have not been told by the Holy Spirit when Christ will return, or if he'll return in our lifetime. But I wonder, are we waiting for him with that same eagerness to come again? With the same expectancy for Christ to come again as Simeon does for Christ's first appearing? Are we just trying to survive? Sometimes it feels like that. Especially at this time of year when you have sick children. Are we just trying to survive, or maybe survive the Christmas season and all the festivities that come with it? How much thought have we given over the last while to the sure hope that Christ will come again? Have we been diligently trying to make this world our home? Or are we living as pilgrims passing through and looking forward to our eternal home with Christ, which He is preparing for us? It's really easy to do. Are we looking forward to Christ coming again? When I was in college, my friends would make kind of fun of me a little bit because anytime it was exam week, I would always say, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come quickly." Because I didn't want to go through exam week. But it should be more, a whole lot more than that. we should want Christ to come simply because, not because we just don't want to go through a difficult week, not because work is overwhelming, not because of this, that, or the next thing. We want Him to come because we want to be with Him, period. Because we want to be with Him in perfection. That we actually want, for a change, to give Him praise that is worthy of His name. To have the ability to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength perfectly. And to enjoy the fullness of the salvation that He has provided. Are we looking forward to Christ coming again? Simeon, led by the Holy Spirit on this particular day of Jesus' dedication to the Lord in the temple, goes to the temple and is led by the Holy Spirit to find Jesus. Remember, there would have been many young parents going to the temple on any given day to offer the sacrifice of redemption for their firstborn sons. But the Holy Spirit leads Simeon to Christ, and he blesses God, praises and thanks God, singing what we now read in verses 29 through 32. And just listen to those words in verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. Essentially, Lord, you have fulfilled your promise to me. Everything has happened just as you said. Now I am ready to die. Now I am ready to die. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation. We traditionally, because of this statement, think that Simeon was an old man at this point. And he may very well have been. He could have been middle-aged too, though. He could have even been quite young, 20s or 30s. Remember, a man became a man at 13 in those days. We're not told how old Simeon is anywhere in Scripture because it doesn't matter. No matter what age, this truth should ring true. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So, not exactly your typical Christmas sermon, but here comes the question. Are you ready to die? Right now. If the Lord was to call you home right now, are you ready? And would you be ready to go excitedly and readily? What would be holding you back? Is there some vacation you want to go on first? Is there some life event that you want to experience first? Maybe it's for the young boys getting their driver's license. Right? That's an exciting thing, something to look forward to. I remember when I was about 10, it was like every birthday I was counting down. Only 4 more, 3 more, 2 more, right? Till I can get my license. Maybe it's living on your own. Maybe it's getting married. Maybe it's having children, etc. Would those things come between you and your readiness to go and be with the Lord in this moment? Or maybe you worry about those who you would leave behind if you were called home right this second. A spouse, children, other loved ones, friends, people that depend on you in some way. There was an elder of mine in Michigan that was dying of cancer. He was quite young yet, in his late 50s, early 60s, and he was really concerned, and he was really worried because he did not know what was going to happen to his wife. He was really concerned about her well-being. And what brought him great peace and brought him to the point of dying with joy was this truth and this reality. It was never him that took care of his wife in the first place. It was always the Lord. And he could entrust her to the Lord to take care of her for the rest of her days on this earth and on into eternity. And so if the Lord was going to call him home, he could go with joy, knowing that his heavenly Father would take care of all of his loved ones. So again, I ask you, if the Lord was to call you home right now, would you be ready to go? Are we ready to die? You know that's a minister's job, isn't it? To prepare people to die. It's essentially all we're doing. Not exactly a great job description, I guess, but it's the truth. Are we ready to die? It's not something that we maybe readily think about at Christmas time. But in real terms, isn't that what Christmas is all about? That Christ came to give us salvation from even death itself. As the hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, in the third stanza says, Hail to the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail to the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And after all, has he not given you every reason to die at any moment with absolute peace? That's the word that Simeon uses, peace. Peace is a wonderful word. In the scriptures, when it's talking, uses peace in this way, it means reconciliation with God. We're enjoying harmony with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've been given eternal blessings and prosperity. We have eternal life after all. We can go through anything in life with perfect peace. We can even go through death with perfect peace. Do you know that? Do you believe that? We don't have anxiety in this life because God has not provided. We don't have anxiety because God has not come through on all of His promises. We have anxiety because our faith is too small and it is too weak. Thankfully, we're not saved on the greatness of our faith. And thankfully, our God doesn't think less of us because of the weakness of our faith. What does Jesus say time and time again? O you of little faith, why did you doubt? He doesn't say that meanly. He says that tenderly, compassionately, lovingly. And that's in every moment of every day. We can have absolute peace. We can go through all of this life in perfect peace and even die in perfect peace. Why? He has given you Christ. And you have seen the salvation that He has provided. You know Him, and you know what He went through to save you from your sin, from your sinful nature, and from death itself. You have seen Him, the one who has delivered us from all of our enemies, even death, so that we can confidently go to the grave at any moment, because we know that we will be instantly translated to glory, to be in the presence of our glorious God. In closing, let's look at the last couple lines in the song. Verse 32. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. We'll take them in the opposite order. True glory to the true Israel. That is what Christ has brought. Not just for the present Israel, but for the saints, all the saints in the Old Testament, even before Israel was a nation. Why glory to the nation of Israel? Because finally, all of their sins and failures were put away. Finally, there was the one from Israel that they could actually glory in. And the one who brought glory to them. So many of the Jews of Jesus' day were proud that they were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But when you think about the history of God's people, there's not a lot to be proud about, is there? Even Abraham failed many times trusting the Lord. The northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed and Judah was sent into exile because of their sin and spiritual adultery. Even the greatest leaders in Israel had their moments of failure. Moses hit the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. Joshua made a treaty with a people he shouldn't have. Gideon committed idolatry. Samson was an adulterer. David was a murderer and an adulterer. And the list goes on and on. But now, finally, there was someone that the Israelites could really boast in. There was finally someone who would make Israel the glorious people of God. Jesus. And He is also a light to the Gentiles. Finally, brothers and sisters, we are reminded that to the entire world, Christ is the light. He is the truth. He is the love. He is the holiness, the righteousness. He is the one that is all glorious. In other words, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. Do we realize what the psalmist says in Psalm 8? What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Who are we? Not just out of all creation, but who are we out of all the peoples of the earth? Why us? Why has Christ decided in His love and grace to shine the light of the gospel in our heart? How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Jesus is our light in the fullest meaning of that word. And so, brothers and sisters, in this Christmas season, don't just think of a baby in a manger. From all outward appearances, when Simeon held Jesus in his arms, there was nothing special about him. Nothing spectacular. What caused him to sing the song? He saw with his eyes of faith Jesus as his Savior, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. May we all always see Him as such, that in all of life we would trust Him, and that even though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we would fear no evil. We would have no anxiety, but have perfect peace. Why? Because the Savior that has saved us from all of our enemies, death included, He is the one that is with us. Amen. Let's sing. Number 22, the Song of Simeon, hymn 22. The deacons will come forward and collect the offering. May the Lord bless you in your giving.